Amy.
Morning.
Good morning and welcome to the Heal Out Loud podcast. Today we have the beautiful Amy Freeman, who is the creator of Somatic Massage Method, a modality that has a unique method and an intuitive presence to ignite the body's natural energy intelligence. Is that right, Amy?
That works.
It's okay, a body. I have my glasses on. That's the sad part about it. You are also the owner and founder of a beautiful wellness center called Steel Space, located in beautiful sunny San Diego, California. If you guys are ever in the location of San Diego, please look her up. Her information will be linked below as well. So, Amy, we are here today, and I'll let you do an introduction of yourself. That was much better than mine. We're here today to talk all about intuition, what it means, what even the word intuition means to you, and also just an understanding of your intuition and your life journey with discovering and intuition and becoming a light worker. And even if you consider yourself a light worker, and what do you consider yourself? So let's just start by you doing a brief introduction of yourself, and then we'll kind of move from there.
Okay. Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning.
Where to start? Even the intros are a little tricky for me too. It's I'm an eclectic study. And definitely a lifelong learner. So giving myself, finding ways to describe the work is tricky for me. So I started as a body worker. I've been in the body, mind, and conscious thought, consciousness training world or field, I'd say my whole life, but for 31 years professionally. And I love to learn. I love to study. And so I think even from an intuitive standpoint and spirituality and just learning how to touch the body, help people feel better, touch the body in really sacred ways is kind of the entry to my journey. I taught for many years at a body mind school. So I had the honor of getting to study a whole world of things that were not introduced through my traditional education, and I'd say through most people's traditional education. So around the age of 19 or 20, it just, this world opened to me of awareness and consciousness and intuition. It took me a while before, I think I was taking courses on how to be intuitive until I finally realized, for me, my truth is that intuition is innate to everyone. And I think that's where we're going today in our discussion. So I'm a traditional body worker that blends energy medicine, traditional body work, energy medicine, and what I call intuitive presence.
Can you, just for the audience, of course I know, but can you give a little detail of what traditional body worker means?
Yeah, I started as a massage therapist. And even in the world of massage, there are many, many branches and what we call modalities. So you study a particular modality that has an intent and a focus on, for massage, the physical body, the physical form, our muscles, our bones, our structure, fascia, connective tissue. There's all kinds of study. And there's a world of, even in the bodywork realm, what we call modalities of study that go beyond just like a traditional sports massage or, I think people traditionally know as Swedish and circulatory.
Right, absolutely. When you think of bodywork and massages, Swedish, deep tissue, like those things, but you're coming more from an intuitive, energetic experience with the massage, correct?
Yes, and that's what evolved over time. So I found my way into this world. I met a massage therapist in the early 90s, and it just, something in me said, it sounded like she was making really good money at the time. So I said, well, I could do that. I've rubbed my dad and my grandpa's shoulders, and I ended up literally what I'll now say that spiritual guidance of taking me into a world that I did not know existed through traditional education. My family didn't really go to, the only thing I'd ever heard of was physical therapy all the way through my high school journey. So it created a world for me, and the school in particular that I ended up attending really focused on their motto was evolving consciousness using the body as a tool. So from the moment I entered that building, there was a lot more going on than learning a recipe in anatomy. It was touching consciously, which also created the development of intuitive presence, intuitive listening, intuitive connection, even if they didn't quite call it that.
Right. Now, from that moment and how you discovered this school and it took you on this journey of bringing the intuitive side into your touch, how would you say, even if you didn't realize then, but now sitting in the space that you are in now, and even if you did kind of go to the point of how did that really influence your intuition, and how do you see it now versus then?
Yeah, even that journey, from a poignant, just for the sake of sharing, and I know the weave will continue, but I would say the first place, not only was the school itself, we entered meditation, we did Tai Chi, we did movement, we did a lot of things to kind of help organize through our whole system so that we could be centered and present for our clients, was how they would say that. And then, but I studied traditional sports. I wanted to work with injuries. My first job was working at the Naval Amphibious Base down in Coronado. So I was working on special forces that had all kinds of strains and injuries. So the part where it really branched into my curiosity of something I would say more intuition was that I, as a practitioner, would be working on doing like a traditional circulatory massage, and people were getting better. They were recovering or having sometimes what an instantaneous, they'd come in with a scenario on the table. It could even be plantar fasciitis, say. And the next day it was totally gone, or deep injuries. And things were just better, completely better for people. And I, in my own personality at that point, and I call it the personality even more than I say the ego, because I think that word has become a little distorted. So the forefront of my brain, my personality thinking self, couldn't explain why people were so much better from a traditional massage that was taught, not that massage isn't super sacred, but it'd be like 6 to 8 weeks and something might start to get better, and people were just better. So then that was really, I would say that was a point in my life. That was one of the connecting pathways that I then went through. I just threw myself into the study of energy medicine, because I knew intuitively, I didn't call it intuition, I just knew in my gut that something in me knew that there was something else happening in our connection together, my time with my clients, that wasn't really about me so much, but there was something that was happening for them that was more than a traditional massage could describe. So then I went into a whole new bandwidth of study, many, many years of different modalities and philosophies and practices for energy medicine. That was one breath.
I love that, because it kind of leads into the whole ideal of, at the beginning when you were talking about taking courses and learning how to be intuitive, but we all are. And I think for me, this is what the mission is about, getting people to understand we are who we are, and whether we feel like we're living our purpose, we are in a certain way, because your mission for being here is always going to be just that, you know? And what we're doing the thing in some capacity, you know?
Yeah.
And so I love how you're explaining that, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, as you're telling the story, you weren't even in the know of intuition and energy healing as much as you are now at this time, but you were witnessing these radical healings happening right before you, and you were a part of it, not even intentionally.
Correct.
I love that. I really love that. So now, sitting where you are, what can you speak to that young version of yourself and see? Have you connected to the energy that you were transmuting at that time unconsciously as you do it now consciously, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I can see through like a past timeline of all the ways that I was already the thing that I was studying to become what I call in my personality, right? There was always, I always had access to something, and I truly believe everyone does. And that's what I think, that's what I heard you say in this message, is that even when people talk about the extra senses, there's nothing extra about them to me. They are always here. We are utilizing them all the time, but we aren't aware that we are. And we haven't, at this time, in a broad, diverse array of cultures, that's not the focus. The focus is on intellect, not intellectual intelligence, not intuitive intelligence, but it's always here. And so, yeah, there's discoveries. And now when I look back, there's even just recently, I mean, 31 years on the journey, and it's pretty recent. I don't even have a timeline. It's like forgetting and remembering, I call it, right? Mm-hmm. And there'll be this like, oh, yeah. And then I return to something that is like a remembrance in the now of like, oh, there was a point where that was already innate. And there's a point that that was innate. And when I was young, I had even friends, right, in school that would say, you know, did you know you're psychic, or did you know you're intuitive? And even back then, I would just brush that away because I didn't, I just didn't want the, it was to my psyche, it was like pressure to perform something. Right. Mm-hmm. So even then there was a little bit of.
And what age would you say that was for you?
When I had friends saying that to me, I would say I was 13, 12, 13.
When you look back at that time now from this version of yourself, what was happening to you and for you and around you that you can kind of touch on to say, if you're experiencing this, like, what would you say to your little 13, 14-year-old self, or maybe someone else that's that age, or maybe even older, that has some of those things going on, or in are afraid, or whatever, you're feeling pressured into stepping into that version of yourself?
Hmm. There's a couple of different words. I'm actually having to go into that part of myself to say it's such a different lens at this point in my life, but rest, relax, and be, you know, be able to rest your nervous system. So I am very passionate about nervous system work because I think it is something universally that I can talk to people about. It doesn't create that pushback like I had at 13, where I pushed back. And so I didn't even know that I was being protective of something. And so her ability to rest and be, yeah, I that's the first thing that comes to mind.
And what does that look like, resting and being?
Yeah, being able to attune to our own body, to take a breath, and to pause a little bit. So one of my favorite things is to pause, pivot, and connect into myself. And so even saying that to a young self, I mean, at any age, there's going to be a slight variation on how to guide to do that. But even just putting my hand on my own chest, taking a breath, and just helping the tension that I feel. So that's why I love somatics, is we attune to constrictions or tensions or tightness or openness that's in our body. And that helps I think that helps people. I know it helps people just connect and take a minute to pay attention to themselves and send love to themselves or send support to themselves.
You know, as I'm listening to you talk, so much is happening for my mind and it's bing, 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 bing. And I love when that happens. One of the biggest things you were saying was when I'm teaching classes, I like to tell people, and I say teaching classes, but I don't really feel like I'm teaching. I'm like, you know, you may consider me being teaching a class, but what I'm really doing is reawakening you to points of yourself that you may have never tapped into in this lifetime, or you kind of put to sleep, you know. And as you said, being this little 13-year-old and being defensive in all of these things of how you're showing up opposed to how you show up now, what would you say was the breakout moment for you in giving yourself permission to be a different version of you that maybe shined a little brighter in the intuitive versions of yourself?
Again, 31, it's more than 31 years. It's really a daily thing. So I'm trying to ask myself, letting myself even now, right, relax and let the information come, let the memory come, let the sensation, because there's been, as I was saying, for me, there's like kind of a awareness or an, how would I say that? There's an awakening point of like, oh, so connected in this moment. And then there's almost like a falling asleep or forgetting. And so for me, it's a daily thing. I don't know when there was a point of giving permission precisely. I think it's been, one of the other things I love to say in my work is I call it a micro practice. So when I tune in and connect to something, there's something that liberates me. And I think there's little pockets of permission every day. And study. I mean, I found communities that were practicing similar things. And then there was safety in the practice. There was safety in like allowing myself to be seen. So some of the communities were really important. Educating myself, because that intellect back then needed that in order to feel courageous. And then there came a point where I started to wake up to myself, and I can't tell you, I'm so sorry, I don't know when it was, because it's been multiple points on the journey where there's just an intuitive, that there's a connection, that there's something in my body that felt safe enough to show up and try, or show up and speak, and felt supported enough inside of myself that I was no longer hooked on as much of what other people thought, more that just allowing myself to be my own shine. And there's just been multiple points of that along the journey, open, close.
And I love that you said that, because I believe that there'll always be multiple points, but is there a moment where you realize that there's more, like you said, you've had so many studies, like you said, and you've been through so many versions of yourself in this lifetime already. But was there a point where it clicked that your intuition was more than meets the eye, or like, what was the awakening moment for you, if you had one, or did it just kind of all unfold at once for you? Like, what was the discovery of your intuition as being this vessel of you, basically?
Yeah, we'll have to keep our dialogue going, and I'll let you know if there was a point. I mean, like I said, there's been the point when people were having owning myself, right? There's these deep teachings of, and it's still a little tricky for me. I mean, even just recently referring to myself as an intuitive healer, like really recent.
And we talked about that.
Owning it inside of myself, because and the hard part is I'm so protective of people understanding that they heal themselves. So being able that we have this incredible, in the same way there's intuition, we have this innate organism that comes totally equipped with the ability to regenerate and heal and connect. And so I've always it's been hard for me to say I facilitate something. But recently, I'm very, there's an innate, I just touch people and things start to move. People enter into my office space and I just say hi and things start to happen. And so I realize that there is something in the love or the cultivation of me that is innate, has always been there. I have memories and timelines, but yeah, I don't think there was a point where I don't have a specific like point where it all downloaded. All of a sudden I went, I am a thing. It's just been, it was so innate that it was, I can't find it, but many years ago that where I didn't realize that everybody wasn't connected or couldn't feel things the way I could feel things. And some of it came through shadow, I guess, to share with people that are listening. It was like, I would, in the early days when it wasn't fully developed for me, I didn't know that I was feeling, that I was able to feel things that sometimes people couldn't even feel or access in themselves. And so I would think they were mad at me, right? The traditional empath at a younger age, or I had done something, I would personalize it. And even the awakening to that happened, I don't have timelines. It's been so many times of awakening and closing to that. So no, I don't have an exact, I guess the answer is no, I don't have an exact moment. Just
and I think, well, I didn't mean like an exact moment when you realize, oh, I'm in this point, but like, you know, for many of us, that's not fully even in understanding of intuition is a thing, you know, like at one point or another, you got curious enough to take the class or you got introduced to a class and like, what was that like for you? And what was the yes? So, you know, like you're called to things, right? And so like there's a calling on all of our life and it's up to us to answer the calling. So I think that's what I meant more so of when did you feel like you were enlightened or anything like that? It's just how did the calling start and what was the pivoting point where you had to answer the calling is more so the question there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's and kind of how that calling came to be. Yeah, it's for me, it's a feeling in my body. And it really was more of a knowing. It was a, usually it's a feeling in the middle of my stomach or my heart. And like I said, there was a point, I mean, I love to share this. I was in a bar of all things. I was really sitting in a bar and I met a woman that said she was doing massage 9 months out of the year and then traveling for the rest of the year. And that just sounded fantastic. So I didn't know there was like an intuitive connect, but my yes was more external at that point. It was like, hey, that sounds good. I could do that. And then the school, back then the schools were listed in massage schools were listed in yellow pages. So I went into the yellow pages and went, boink, I'm going to try this school. It's down the street. And so the yeses to me come in different ways. And it's usually a feeling through my belly or my heart. It's often, even if it makes me nervous or scares me, there's often a little bit of a quickening to it, like an excitement. And so these branches along the way, like I said, I met a massage therapist in a bar, went to massage school, became a massage therapist from some of my traditional early trainings, but people were having changes. I felt it in my body that I wanted to go study energetics because I knew through their feedback that something was happening that I didn't think was just from a traditional physical massage. And then the practices started. And it would just drop in. There would be this information of like, I want to study shamanism. I didn't know any shamans. I didn't know. And all of a sudden I walk into a room and there was a flyer for global shamanism, 2-year training. Right. And
that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. It's just like you think it and then it appears, right?
Exactly. And so that's where I have a hard time saying it's been moments, these pivoting moments.
It's just really more than a moment and experience. Like, what was the experience like leading up to who you are now? Because like you said, we have many of those along the road. So yeah. What would you say out of everything? Because I mean, your resume is beautiful in all of the energy ways, but growing up, as this young child to now the person you are. And I love how you explained that you don't want to, or you didn't want to say, I'm this, but as you honor your contribution to the collective, it allows you to open up the gifts. I think this is important, and why I'm even going back here, because I think it's important to understand that we have, like you said, this beautiful way of healing ourselves, but there's also, everyone has, because when I think of people, I think that we all are one, really. So it's like, you're this part of me, you know, and when you join my orbit, then it just enlightens that part of me, you know. I'm whole and complete without it, but it's just that extra brightness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and again, I think that there's really truth in the personality is the last place to catch it, right? My my mind, my personality has the aha moment of something that's already existed. And so even now I can look back upon all of these different points, and I believe it too, where we already are that. There's something very innate. It's very innate. It's very innate and unique. Innate, there's my new word for that. Innate and unique. And we have a divine, our own divine inheritance, I like to call it. It's like we come in already with these beautiful gifts. And then part of the journey of life is we're awakening to them. So how do we guide that in each individual, right? Help them to know sooner or younger. I have a memory I was probably 2 or 3 years old, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was someone sitting next to me, and I remember saying, "Hi, Daddy," like thinking my dad was there, like tucking me in or something. And then I rolled over, and my father was sleeping next to me. We were having a sleepover at somebody's house. And that was probably the first time, really, really, really little, that I saw something that I thought was something and wasn't. And then, so I had an awakening to it. And then I think there was a little bit of, what was that, right? The brain or the psyche of a young little child that didn't have a family that knew about stuff like that, didn't know how to guide that. And so some of it is, I'm with you in a passion of how do we start to help people feel supported and stay connected to their, what is innate and divine in each and every one sooner. And how do we support that?
And what will be your way to support that? Because that's really the question here. How do we support, like, the journey was whatever the journey was for each one of us, but like, what do you think you needed along your childhood, or if anything, or what do you think could have helped you get to a deeper understanding? And I don't even know if a deeper understanding is the word that I'm looking for. But just, I think a deeper acceptance of, oh, this is real, this is whole, this is true. Like, you know, to lighten your light, to be able to shine brighter. And we're still all on that journey. And I think it's an ever evolving. And I really love how you said that, because it is ever evolving of us awakening to the next version of ourselves. So I don't think, as long as you're breathing and in this human experience, we're always going to be evolving, right? Or I don't know if you agree with that, but how do you speak to that?
I absolutely do. You know, through the best way that I can think is really through education, right? Creating some schools, creating spaces for people to come, being able to be in our own embodiment and our own wisdom and kindness. I'm not here to impose anything on anyone, because I believe that just by being our own unique self, it creates a little spark. It's like that kindling to a flame, right? So it's like, as I stoke my own inner fire and I become through my own practices, my own light, like you said, a light worker, as I still stoke my own light, other people will witness it. They'll feel it. They'll have a sense of it. And it'll create a little spark within them. So I think that's one is like, and then how do we teach our young ones to be the spark that they already are before constructs of social, you know, social impositions and all of these different things start to dim or create dormancy in what I believe our little ones are just born. I mean, have eye contact with a baby walking through a grocery store, and there is so much knowing in those little faces. There's so much light in there. And then we enter the world, right? We enter the world and all these things that I still think our souls are on a journey, right? We're on a journey, and there's going to be highs and lows and valleys and rough rivers and floaty spots, right? And how do we help people stay connected to their light? So first to me is that I have my own practice of it, that I'm not here to impose on anyone. I'm just living it. And then people will catch that spark. They'll catch that there's something about you. I don't know what that is. And they'll just be curious. Mm-hmm. And then whatever our soul's guided to, if we're teachers or we want to create like centers that I have for people to come and have experience transformational classes, how do we address things for parents? How do we support the parents to be their own light so that they can continue to be the light that helps the little ones? So I believe our intuition will branch us and guide us. Like, I don't know anything about shamanism. I'm curious about that. And boom, there's a flyer. How do I help my child? Dot, dot, dot. Boom. There'll be a something, a community will pop up. So I guess my message is work with it, continuing to ignite and support our own light. And then it's going to create the kindling to a flame, so to speak, in our communities and in our world. It can grow.
Thank
you. Thank you for asking that, because I haven't really said it that way, I don't think, before.
Yeah. And you were talking about like your daily practice. And because we're talking about intuition, what role does intuition play in your daily life? And like, how does it play out? How do you use your intuition in your daily life?
Yeah. And I was kind of preparing to do the podcast today, the word that came out of me as I was once again struggling to find a definition of what I do or things like that, was intuitive presence. So one of my loves in terms of my own practice is Qigong. For people that don't know of it, it's, you can see it a couple ways, Q-I or C-H-I for Qi. And or yi sometimes, and then gong, G-O-N-G. And it really means life energy practice or life energy discipline. Point being, I do some sort of...
Excuse me.
Yeah. Salut. I practice presence, getting still, getting in the now, letting at this point, because I've studied so many things and love that information field, but now I have to let most of it go and just drop into myself every morning, say hello, say good morning, do a little bit to kind of set my field of energy or acknowledging my body. And I just do that by getting present. I don't say just, it's not a small thing, getting my mind a little bit quiet, getting attuning to my thoughts or my emotions and my physical body, aligning my breath. And then from there, my practice will arise. So I call it intuitive presence, because that's also how I enter the world with my clients now too. I don't have an agenda. It doesn't feel right to let my mind, I can have an intention, right, of support. But past that, when people come in, it's really, how are you today? And I'm going to bring intuitive presence to the room as well. I get quiet and I listen and I feel and I wait for a theme to come forward. And then I ask and we'll do a little dialogue, which already starts to set and connect the field together. And then the session is going to be what the session is going to be. So my life is very similar at this point. I wake up, I connect, I get present. I do a little movement, a little bit of breath. I do something to organize myself into the now. And then I let the next moment unfold to the best of my ability. So
I love that. And what would you say that that has done for you throughout your day, like when you're not connecting and using your Qigong practice opposed to when you are? Do you, is there a difference? And if there is, can you speak to the difference and how that shows up for you?
Yeah. Well, one thing is by practicing this for as long as I have, there's a part of me that is almost never disconnected anymore. It's like I've created my own field of awareness that when things get busy, when things get fatigued or tired, I'm not really gone. Like there's a part of me that's always listening and connecting, you know, so I can just show up a little bit more now without needing to go through a lot of preparation. It's like I can drop in to presence and organize, both listen here and connect externally more innately. And I don't know, it's not really a time, but more efficiently than in the early days when I really needed to practice organizing myself into the now. So there's an efficiency. And when I don't do it for a while, when I don't really connect and I get caught, my life is more challenging. My nervous system gets really erratic, some old behaviors that don't really serve me in the same way. And I feel compassion about all of it. I just get more out of balance. I get more tired or a little bit more frenetic. It's not as rich. It's not as rich as when I stay connected to that intuitive presence. If that's the question you asked, I don't know if I got off track there a little bit.
Yeah, no, there's no off track. This is just exactly where we need to be. Wherever we go is exactly where we need to be. I'm a firm believer of that. And it leads me into something that just happened to me yesterday. So I was leaving my house on my way to my daughter's house. And, you know, every morning I wake up, I do a gratitude practice before I get out of bed. Sometimes I fall back to sleep doing my gratitude practice and just kind of creating my day energetically. So I do that every morning. But normally before I leave the house, I do an extra just energy wrapping, clearing, calling in protection, just really putting myself in an energetic bubble so that my energy stays within that bubble and everybody else's energy stays out of that bubble. So yesterday when I left the house, I didn't fully put up a bubble clearly. I was like packing things and I just totally forgot to do it, right? And I normally don't do that. So I'm driving to my daughter's house, and when I get there, before I get there, because I actually never got there, she lives downtown, and the Rock and Roll Marathon was going on.
Oh, yeah.
So, I had a whole day planned on what I was going to do once I left the house. I get on the freeway and there's nobody on the 163. And if you live in San Diego, you know, that's like, I'm like, what happened? Like, let me find the news. Did something happen? Why is this freeway empty? So as I'm driving down, I realize the other side is completely shut down. And then it dawned on me, oh, duh, this is going to be a journey. Long, long story short, I had to pull off the freeway. She had to kind of walk to me and meet me. And after that, like, I wasn't able to do anything else that I planned on doing. And I left going to her first. I had to come back home because I was so exhausted and tired. And so I came home, literally took off my clothes, laid in the bed. Then I got up, I cooked dinner, and I was fine and everything. And I went to sleep, woke up this morning. As I'm getting dressed this morning, and I'm connecting to my guys, and they're like, so, like, do you realize what happened to you yesterday? And it was just like this moment of clarity as the information was downloaded to me, like the reason why I was extremely tired. And then once I got home and cleared myself, I wasn't tired, because when I come in, I automatically do a clearing. And so when I came in, I did what I normally do to clear and lay down and everything. but still not thinking that I didn't do it on the way out the door. So the long story to it is, as I'm driving by all of these people who are at the tail of the race, I'm picking up their tired energy. So I become like extremely exhausted. And I'm like, holy crap, like I just left home. Why am I so tired all of a sudden? You know, so, and I think this is important in what you spoke to of the difference between when you show up in a way and the way when you don't show up in a way. There's really not even, sometimes it's subtle, but sometimes it's so big that it's like undeniable, the difference of like really fully connecting with yourself and connecting to just this divine wisdom, guidance, protection, whatever you want to call it, higher self. There's so many names for it, and I don't think there's a right or wrong name. It's whatever you resonate with. But the connection of just being connected really does support you in such a beautiful way. So I love how you explained that. And I think it's important to talk about, like, you know, knowing that no one's perfect and we're always on this journey and things happen, life happened, you know, because here I am, I teach these things, but still I had a moment where I left the house and I did not, and I immediately felt it and I'm like, whoa. And not only did I immediately feel it, I still didn't connect it until, you know, so it's like those things, like just because. And I think this is important because, like, you know, it really talks to the journey of self-discovery. And, like, I was not even connected to the fact that this isn't even your energy, Janine, until hours later.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I call it, sometimes I'll call it energy soup.
Yeah.
You know, there's such a, like, we're all these incredible, powerful generating fields.
Yeah.
My thing just jumped around. There we go. These generating energy fields. And so without just organizing in our own nervous system through our own field of energy, just setting an intention. And this is where some of the, really to me, the practices come in. And then there's the one to organize it and then let it go. Because the brain wants to grab and put meaning on everything. Well, I'm doing this because, and I gotta, and now I gotta protect and all these ways. It's like, no, set an intention, say hello, right? Set your field for the day and then go about your day. And then I love to say in here, you know, there's no pedestals in here. So knock me off any pedestal you want to put me on. I'm always going to show you my love of my human journey, right? And that I forget and I remember. It's one of my most favorite poems. It says at the end, it's after every forget, I remember. And any point where, like you just said so beautifully, when on the days where I don't do it, there's like this remembrance of like, oh, and then I'm motivated again because, and I can connect to other people. It weaves a lot of compassion so that when someone comes in, if their personality is really tricky that day or extra cranky or something's going on, I have the compassion because there's an experience in me of, oh, maybe I've absorbed something a little too much. There's ways that we just get out of balance, but no one has been, we haven't been raised to look at our field of energy in this way. Mm-hmm. So, and that these bodies are so amazing. And I say this right now, raising my hand for all the ways that my system, I've had a lot going on with the expansion of this business center. I forget to do things. I don't tune in. I get caught in waves of busyness. And then I'm super crashed at the end of the day. And what's powerful, the thing that I've learned the most is it's instantaneous to reset. And that's why this is so wonderful. Like the part that goes, oh yeah, hold on. I don't need to grab that. I don't have to put a bunch of meaning on why I got to the place that I got to. I say, oh, hi, love. Hold on. Drop in, reset, align. Go about your day, set your, as you've said so beautifully, right? You set your intention, I think you said before sleep or when you wake up, you just go back to your practice. So mm-hmm. I do believe it's really important to have a practice and not in a constricted disciplinarian kind of way, just in this like, oh, and then I'll forget. And something's going to motivate me to come back because it feels so much yummier when I stay connected in my field and intend my life, put an intention into my life. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that she loves to say the field of possibilities. When we're connected and rested and in alignment, we remember that there's this huge field of possibilities that we can create from. And when I'm in the energy soup, I'm picking up on other people's creations that might not be in an alignment for mine, and I don't even know it. And so there's distortions that can come in and happen. So
I really love that. And then it kind of leads into two questions that I have. The one that's right in alignment with that is, how do you distinguish between energy and experience and fear and ego? But before we tap into that, I wanted to just really briefly talk about the time frame, because you explained this beautiful morning practice, right? And I know that could be anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour, but is it always the same? And what I'm really wanting people to understand is that it doesn't have to be an hour, but it can be an hour. But like, what is your morning practice normally consist of? Not what the steps are, but the time frame. And is it the same every morning?
Yeah, no, it changes based on my schedule for the day. And I'm going to say this so that I own the human part, is I'm really great at starting my day. I'm not so great at ending my day. And so that's one of my new pieces to step in, is that when I set my field also before I go to rest, or I do a little something restoratively at the end of the day, the next day, timing wise, I wake up more efficiently, and my field is already really organized. So I can do, if I want, it's really about what I have access for. Do I have an hour to practice? Is my intuition saying drop in a little deeper, get a little more still because of what's coming today? Or it's so busy, I've got a few moments to just smile and feel. So I would say in the beginning, sometimes it takes a little. Here's my two pieces. My morning practice can be anywhere from 5 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour. I usually do a couple of different things. I incorporate between meditation and movement and nutrition. There's just a couple of different ways that I'll play. I think in the beginning, when we're practicing, we still get to practice the variations, but what I want to throw in of my own personal experience is do it until it connects you to a feeling. I don't mean an emotion. That emotional body is powerful, and it's a bridge between our mental and our physical. So if you can find something in your emotional body, great. That's a way to organize in. But feeling and sensing is different. It's different. It's not quite the same thing. And it's connected to our nervous system, our central nervous system. It's connected to our energy field. So whatever the practice is and whatever the intention is, do it, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, whatever the system needs that day. But in the beginning, do it until you connect to that feeling. So does your feeling match your intention? Do you feel suddenly more rested? Do you feel joyful? Do you feel excited to go start the day? Or do you at least feel a little bit more neutral and ready to go merge with the world?
Really quick, because I absolutely love this. Can you give us a very brief description between feeling and emotions? Like you said, your emotions is one thing, and this is so like important to distinguish the difference between an emotion and a feeling. So just in a brief, however, can you explain the difference?
Yes, absolutely. So, and actually, and I hate that right now, I can't recall this. There was actually a study done on this, and I won't go down all of the study, but in somatics and in other fields of therapy, there's a term called felt sense. And the reason I want to acknowledge that, and I can't think, it's over 50 years ago plus, that psychologists discovered that. So I want to go into it because I just thought this was such a cool study, but what they experience is that an emotion, it can be very narrowing, right? And we tend to identify it intellectually. I'm sad. I'm mad. So we have a feeling that the reason emotions and felt sense are different and the reason they get coupled is that when we have an emotion, there's absolutely an experience, a feeling experience that comes when I'm mad, blah, blah, blah. When I'm bad, blah, blah, blah. But it tends to narrow us and the brain identifies it and it can create some protective response. When we're in a feeling sensing system, we use descriptive words and it's often hard to describe. We notice people say, well, I can't really explain it. It's kind of like, and we'll use metaphors or it's a physical, right? It's warm, it's cold, it's buzzy, it's like water. We'll use physical descriptions or energetic descriptions. And we know someone's in a feeling sensing, which also connects to our nerve endings, right? It connects through our energy field. It's harder to describe it. So we guide people to say, can you use physical sensations? You use the senses. That's probably one of the big things too with the intuition is that it's intuitive because we are trying to describe an experience, feeling, sensing, versus the emotional body, which has feeling and sensing to it, but we tend to define it. And then the brain hooks it and wants to put meaning upon why it's happening.
I love that. Thank you so much for breaking that down. And one of the things that I like to do is when I have, I'm working with someone, what I like to say is like, you know, most times our emotions are the one that we capture is always secondary, right? Like you're hurt, but you're mad because you're hurt, but you're really hurt. So really our emotions, 95, probably higher, but we're just going to go with 95% of the time is a secondary one that we catch on to. And then I like to ask people like, okay, so I'm sad. What do you feel that in your body? Right. Because that brings you from the feeling to the, like, you know, it ties it together so that you can bring the emotion into the feeling. So thank you so much for bringing that to the awareness, because I think that's really important on how we learn to connect with oneself.
Yeah. And that was why when I learned about this study, it was really cool because they found that when people can connect to the feeling, it's more transformative. They actually can transform it. They can shift it. Yes. And I'm really careful. I like to say experience versus story. I mean, we'll say, you know, instead of telling the story, connect to the feeling. But story can leave some of our personas, our personalities feeling a little defensive. Like, it's hard to tell someone about our journey or our experience. So there is a time to talk about it. There's a time to tell it and share it, to free it. And one of the most transformative, deeply transformative places that I've found is when we connect to our body and move it by feeling it, sound, giving it sound, exhaling, right? So feeling, connecting to the sensation of it and allowing it, not grabbing it, allowing it to be acknowledged and allowing it or doing something to help it move is the thing that really creates transformation in health and healing and the ability to move forward in our life. And we all have blind spots. Then we go to someone when we discover something, we go to someone and seek help. We get to have community, we get to be supported, and it's still very passionate to me that ultimate wisdom lives inside of us. And we can't see all the pockets all the time, we're not supposed to.
Yes.
Feel it has been profoundly studied to be known. Ability to feel and sense and is profoundly connected to the transformation.
Yes.
And to me, that's intuition. Right? That feeling, I can't quite describe it, but I have a knowing. I see it visually, I hear it auditorily, or I just have a knowing through my feeling sensing body that I just have a sense that something's going on. I connect intuitively.
Yeah, I love that.
We connect intuitively.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you wanted to cover, just that you think is important for the collective to know about this journey? And I think we kind of covered the second part of that question, but if you had anything else to add, throw into that as well.
Yeah, I feel pretty complete in that as well. I think it's just the message to stay curious, stay kind, right? It's not something to be fixed. It's something to be felt and allowed to move on through so that we can be in the present moment again. Those things reignite this innate, healing, health response, right? This ability to move forward and find joy in our life. It's I found in my own journey and when I work with others, we try to work really hard to get through something, to get over something, to make it go away. And that just creates more constriction. And it's really more curious, kindness, compassion, and give it some space. Things evolve in time.
Yes, I love that. And what is the space that you have, that you created, the still space? Can you tell us a little bit about that, what you offer there, and how we can contact you? And
yeah, it's this has been a dream that's been forming through me for several years now. So I have a center that has traditional practitioner body work, Qigong. We have a practitioner center downstairs, but I just expanded Still Space here in San Diego. We're in Mission Valley, into a classroom upstairs. And what's unique about it is that it's really intended to be like a co-working membership. I want teachers that have a message for the world, teachers, mindful leaders, movement therapists, coaches, whatever we consider ourselves to be. It's a place for dynamic and transformational wisdoms and teachings, but it's really for people to come and just rent the space or join a membership here to teach their wisdom. We're going to cross develop community, and it's a place for people to get to come and explore some of these concepts that we've been talking about. Concepts about transformation. And there's so many things that I have studied that I know the mainstream doesn't quite know about yet. And I want to provide breath work, Qigong, intuitive healing, sound bowls, sound therapy is so transformative. So we're creating a center up here for wisdom providers to come and teach their own unique way. And explore dynamic education.
And what services do you provide, Amy? If someone was interested in booking a service from you, what would that look like?
Yeah, I created, at this point, it's a modality that I'm creating to actually start to teach other body workers primarily at this point, but it's called somatic massage methods. So it's a combination of, it would be traditional body workers, people who've studied in massage. But then I also apply, and if they want to come see me, I do somatic massage methods. It's a combination of body work, energy medicine, and intuitive relational presence. So people come in and maybe they're not ready for touch. Maybe they're not even sure why they've come in, but they're coming in to be supported. And through a lot of the things that we discussed today, they come in, I say, how are you? And then a session is intuitively designed based on their desires and their needs in the moment. We're listening and finding pathways for opening and exploration, discovery, like what we talked about today.
Thank you so much for all of your divine wisdom today, Amy. It has been really great connecting with you. And I look forward to connecting with you further. And maybe I'm thinking about something that you want to offer, like as far as like a word of wisdom, just to end with.
Yeah, connect it to the feeling. Wherever you are, curiosity, love, and whatever your dreams are, connect it to a feeling of that in your body as well.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you for having me. I've loved this discussion. Thank you.
You're welcome. Create a beautiful rest of your day, love, and we'll connect soon.